right into our third and final hour. What's cracking? Nice to have you here. I know some of you are just jumping in. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. It's been a big day already. If you missed the first 2 hours, we've already had conversations with the new head football coach at USC, Lincoln Riley. We had a conversation with the new head football coach at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. We had a conversation with former NFLer Darius Butler. We had a conversation with the fake Brian Kelly at the end of last hour. Now we are going to have a conversation with a guy with a big head. Believe it or not, we have an emergency edition of Big Head Bets. Now, I say that because you clones are constantly hammering away and asking, hey, Rome, if there are games every single night, then why does the big head only show his enormous cranium around here on Fridays? And the answer, Mr. Big Head, Mr. Big Head,
Mr. Big Head,
Mr. Big Head loves him some 15-minute work weeks. That's why Mr. Big Head only shows up on Fridays. But I made it very clear to him that that ain't going to fly. That's not going to work. I need more from you, Mr. Big Head. And given that we have an epic battle and one of the games of the year tonight in Buffalo, and we're coming off such an enormous weekend, I informed Mr. Big Head that he needed to get his big ass up in here today for an emergency edition of Big Head Bets. So here we are. Here the bleep we are. Mr. Big Head, how you feeling, man? Especially after an enormous bounce back weekend.
I'm feeling okay, Jim. I mean, I love my gambling and going 4-1 and bouncing back, hitting 80% of my games. But with Ike dying, it's a little bittersweet. I'll miss that veteran. Rest in peace, Ike. I love you.
All right, dude. He's not dead. I don't know exactly what's going on. I did just receive an email from him.
Oh, you did?
So unless he's emailing from the ground, he is still with us.
Come to work, Ike. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll find out. Mr. Big Head, I love the way you just kind of slyly got in there. Yeah, I enjoyed my bounce back weekend. The fact that I got 80% right. How about the one you got wrong? What happened?
The Raiders blew it 3 different times. I could have covered that spread. We would have been a perfect 100%, but the Raiders went Raider and Derek Carr, 2-point conversion, a pick six, a couple different things, a missed touchdown pass, but 80%, Jim, that's good.
I was going to say bitter much. 80% is incredible. 80% is awesome. All right, so because we have an emergency edition of Big Head Bets, why don't we get to our emergency edition of Big Head Bets? Let's do this. Pats at the Bills head, under the lights. You know Bills Mafia has been fueling up all morning long for it. Hell, they probably started yesterday and never stopped. Major grudge match, serious divisional and conference implications, and I have to admit, I have gone back and forth on this one all weekend long. Mm-hmm. I think they're that evenly matched. I like them both that much. I think it's going to be a tough game-time call. What has the line done in the last 24 hours or so? Where is it now? Who do you like? The whole thing, Big Head, what's up?
It's moving up and down from 3 to 2.5, and I'll take -2.5 for the Buffalo Bills. I'm going Mafia here, Jim. Look, the Patriots look great, and Mac Jones sure as hell looks like their franchise guy, but I'm going against the rookie on the road tonight. He is 5-0 away from New England, but he has also thrown 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions in those games, and that was against 4 of the 5 worst-scoring defenses in the NFL, the Jets, Falcons, Chargers, and Texans. Add the Mafia factor in tonight's weather as well. It will be cold, maybe rain or snow, with wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour possibly. It'll be interesting to see how the guy who played at Florida and grew up in Florida handles that. The Bills need to focus on the run game of the Pats and make Mac beat them. Also, I like Josh Allen as the season goes on. Last year, after having an average November like this year, he threw 12 touchdowns to 12 intercept or to 1 interception in December, and was even better in January, Jim. I think he makes enough plays tonight to beat Hood and that face licker of a defensive coordinator he has. Bills -2.5.
Oh, he's not chalky, Big Head, after all. Yeah, he is. All right, so, hey, listen, I like it. Everybody is loving the Pats. They're loving the value. They're loving getting points. And I understand why the mob is going that way. Mm-hmm. Head, You know I don't always side with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play it. I'm going to agree with you.
Nice.
I don't think that Buffalo has played that poorly this season, but I keep waiting for the real Bills. The real Bills to show up and show us they're the team the most thought that they would be. I feel like we have not seen that this year, at least not consistently. I think this is the night that that team shows up and they handle the Pats and they cover. I, too, will go Bills minus 2.5.
Hell yes.
All right, a few more things before I cut you loose. You and I are on the same page. Before I cut you loose, I'm curious if you're looking to possibly get down on who might win the AFC East. Update me on that. Who is the favorite right now, and what kind of odds are we looking at for that play, the future play on who wins that division?
So right now you have the Bills as the favorite to win the division at minus 140.
How about that? Let me stop you right there. That's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, if they win tonight, obviously you're setting pretty good, but the second choice is New England, and that's plus 115. If New England wins tonight, you're looking really, really good. Now, the two teams that don't really matter, let me put them out there first, is Miami, plus 12,000, and the Jets are plus 100,000.
You should hit that, dude.
I know, right? They'd have to...
Put 1,000 on that, dude.
Man, I'd be a rich man. I'd show up once
plus,
a week.
Did you say plus 100,000?
Plus 100,000 to win the AFC East.
What is 100,000 times 100,000? You should do it.
A lot of money, man.
All right. So, why is that even on the board? What's the point of that? Oh, yeah, plus. We're plus 1 trillion to win the division.
Because there's always somebody to throw a little bit of extra money and they'll take it and it'll never hit, right? They got to win all their games. The Patriots would have to lose all their games.
Well, I like that bet.
Yeah, I would too. But
all right. Finish
right
the
here,
thought.
Though, I'd take the Patriots here. They have an easier schedule than Buffalo, and the Bills actually have to play against Tampa and then in New England at New England.
Dude, you're so talking out of both sides of your mouth. So you're taking Buffalo tonight, but you're taking the Patriots to win the division.
Correct.
All right.
Because because New England's played one more game already than the Bills, and then they have an easier schedule from here on out, and then Buffalo has to go to New England, too.
Okay, so what this is an emergency edition of Big Head Bets. I'm getting him to work more than 15 minutes a week. All right, so you got two plays right there. You've got tonight's game. You've got the bigger picture on the division, the AFC East. Elsewhere, let me jump around a little bit. The college football playoff is set. Bama v. Cincinnati, Georgia v. Michigan. How have the lines for those two games moved so far? Where are they right now?
So Alabama opened as a 13-point favorite over Cincinnati. It's moved to 13.5, so it's still under that 14, which is huge, right? Two touchdowns there. The Georgia game, the 3-seed Georgia, opened as a 7.5-point favorite over Michigan, and that, for the most part, hasn't moved at all. So the Bulldogs minus 7.5, so no surprise. Odds makers love the SEC.
All right, so what do you do with that? Like, there is so much time between now and then. So many things that can happen between now and then. Do you ever try and lock something in early if you love the number, or are you going to wait?
Both, right? So if I always in these games, I hit one probably right away when I see the number. Like, it would be Alabama. I did not do that this year, but last year I had on one of the games. And then I'll wait for the, because it's always an overreaction, and usually there's big movement on one of them because they're way off. But then if I don't hit them that day of, I'll wait right up to kickoff, and then I'll take both of them, obviously, bet on both of them.
I don't know. It seems to me like if you love Bama, that 13.5 number is interesting because, to your point, it's not 14 yet. You get that half point. It's
no,
something to
yeah.
think about.
And especially it's going that way, too, which I kind of thought it would be. I thought it would be 14 right away or 14.5, so that 13, I should have probably hit that.
Maverick.
But I got a lot riding on the whole thing. So.
Yeah, you do. Oh, okay. I see you, Mav. All right, to that point, if you thought Bama and Georgia were the two best teams in the nation and you hit them both back in September, is that what I'm hearing?
Definitely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
What were the lines back then, and what are they now if you want to jump in?
So before the season
kicked
off.
To win it all, I mean.
To win it all, yeah, to win the national championship. Before the season kicked off, on the show, I took Alabama at plus 260 as my hedge, and Georgia was my, you know, small shot at plus 700. Right now, Alabama is plus 120, and Georgia is plus 140 to win it all.
Wow.
For numbers' sake, Michigan If you like Michigan, that's plus 600 to win it all, and Cincy is getting no respect, plus 1600 to win it all.
Do you know, there's something to be said for that. For instance, in my account, if I had an account, I've got some things that I play in the future too, and I got to be honest, I'm really weird about this. I don't know why this bothers me like it does, or it would bother me if it did, but you have this money that you park, and it's just there, and I'm constantly looking at it, and I want access to it, but to your point, if you're smart and you're patient, look at the difference in what the payout could be if you're willing to park that money early in the year, right? Does that bother you at all ever, or does it give you something to enjoy and look forward to all year long?
It gives me something to enjoy all year long on all the sports. It's fun to track each team as the season goes, but also with college football, dude, it's always Alabama and another SEC team, Ohio State or Clemson, right? So it's your best futures bet of any sport. Like college football, you could almost always get the hedge and then maybe take a shot, because plus 700 on Georgia, that's a nice payout too. So I'm sitting nice here on both of them.
But yeah, I like that.
Easy.
I like that. That makes sense. All right, so we're continuing with the head. It's an emergency edition of Big Head Bets. Bryce Young played about as well as any Bama quarterback has ever played. And that's not even an overreaction or a hot take factory kind of statement. He was that good in wrecking Georgia this weekend. Is there any way that he doesn't win the Heisman Trophy? In other words, what's more likely, him winning the Heisman or the Jets not winning the East?
Well,
like, what are the numbers? Give me the numbers on both.
So the Jets are 100,000 to win the East, and Bryce Young is around minus 3,500.
In other words, about the same.
Yeah, about the same and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you could probably get the same odds on him not being the 2021 NFL draft number one pick when he's eligible to actually be it, because he's going to be that. He's great. He's going to win this Heisman Trophy as well. He's incredible.
Here's my advice to you clones. Bet against him to win that, and then parlay that into the Jets winning the AFC East. Just kidding, dopes. Don't do that. All right, so I appreciate the emergency edition. I want to reiterate that you are taking the Bills -2.5. Anything else you want to hit on the way out the door of this emergency edition of Big Head Bets?
Yeah, so if Ritt didn't die, maybe he's pouting about what you said earlier, the Panthers firing their OC Joe Brady. That is BS. It's a joke. It's a joke of a team. Ass quarterback play, ass protection, dudes who can't catch the ball, and their best player has missed half the season. But yeah, let's fire the OC. It is garbage how they got rid of Joe Brady. I'm not saying he's the answer, but he's a scapegoat here. Horrible, Jim.
I want to ask you something, dude. That sounds almost personal. Are you just doing that and pretending to be that upset because you like cracking on the old man Ritt? Is that really more about Ritt than it is Joe Brady?
No, I always tie Ritt into stuff like that. But, dude, situations matter, and you got to give these guys chances to do something, and Joe Brady had none. Now, Joe Burrow could have made this guy at LSU, but you got to give him a legitimate chance to do it and not the grandson of Dick Hammer throw out there, Sam Darnold, and Cam Newton. Yeah.
Come on, man. Give him a chance here. Take it easy, dude. So on the way out the door, let me just say this. He may butcher the English language. He may fade grammar, but if you're going to fade the head, I understand that everybody needs their own strategy, their own system, their own tactics. But if part of your strategy or your system or your tactics is to fade the big head, that's on you. That's cool, but understand the risk involved. Head, way to bounce back, way to not murder the English language, and let's see what happens tonight. It's going to be fun.
All right, Jim, thanks, man.
You got it. There it is. The Big Head. The emergency episode of Big Head Bets. It seems like anybody and everybody is taking the Pats and the points. He and I are going the opposite way. Sometimes you got to go the other way. And that sometimes would be right now. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I'm going to take the Bills. He's going to take the Bills. Depends on what number you can get, but and that number's moved around a little bit, -2.5. And if you're joining us late, Ritt is not dead. Ritt did not go belly up. Ritt sent me an email in the last hour, so I know he's still kicking around.
Tom Hanks.
The beatus did not get him. The vid did not get him. Something got him. Something kept him down today. He's not here today, but he's still around. All right, so how are you playing tonight's game? How do you feel about that? I've got some reaction, which I will get to momentarily. We are now open the rest of the way. 1-800-636-8686. I do want to talk Alabama. I do want to talk Nick Saban. And I want to talk about what went down. I mean, if you thought this was the year that Georgia finally got theirs, it is still the Nick Saban Invitational. So, clones, the holidays right around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. So let me tell you about what I think is the perfect gift, Omaha Steaks. I've been an enormous fan for years. Omaha Steaks makes it so easy to send friends and family the very best steaks of their entire life. An unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved and shared. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter Rome in the search bar to order the perfect gift package. The perfect gift package for $99.99. You will get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped fillets, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. And as the grill master in my house, I can tell you, these fillets cook to perfection. Omaha Steaks is fully stocked. They're ready to ship. Achieve gifting greatness. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com and get 8 free burgers by entering Rome in the search bar. Perfectly aged, tender, and 100% guaranteed. This really is the perfect gift. OmahaSteaks.com. Use the search word Rome, R-O-M-E.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Even if it does snow, cats and dogs this winter, count on Trico wipers. For safe, clear driving visibility, even in the harshest weather, Trico. The future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. All right, so let me jump back to college football for a minute. The college football playoff field has been announced, and it is as follows. Nick Saban and three other random teams. That's it. That's your playoff. Every year. Every year. Nick Saban is bleeping inevitable.
Inevitable.
It's a fact. College football does not have a playoff. It has the Nick Saban Invitational. Every week there's that stupid show where they run down the playoff rankings and none of it matters. Because when it comes down to it, the playoffs are always Nick Saban and three other teams that Saban decides to invite. It doesn't matter what you think about Saban. It doesn't even matter how Alabama plays during the regular season. Nick Saban and Alabama will be in the Nick Saban Invitational every January. This was supposed to be the year they got left out. This was supposed to be the year that they were going to not get it done. They lost Mac Jones. They lost Devontae Smith. They lost Jalen Waddle. They lost Patrick Surtain. They lost Alex Leatherwood. They lost Najee Harris. They had 8 players go in the first 38 picks. I mean, how insane is that? They had 8 guys go in the first 38 picks. It's unreal. It's a joke. One thing to have all of that happen, but if it does, there's no way you field a team the next year, much less the team, except not with Saban. Even Alabama struggled at points this season. That season-opening win over Miami does not look so good anymore. Same with that close win over Florida. Both those teams were not nearly as good as anybody thought they were. Both those teams fired their head coaches. And by the way, it's not like Alabama looked all that great down the stretch either. They did not look like a team that was peaking at the right time. In fact, far from it. They looked more like a team that was just looking for a way out. That was looking for somebody to come in and just end their season. They barely beat Arkansas. They needed an Auburn choke to get past the Tigers. If Auburn stays in bounds late in regulation, that game is over, and so is Alabama's season. But that's not what transpired. Because that's not whatever happens with Nick Saban. Like, burying Nick Saban is sort of like burying his old guy, Bill Belichick. Just when you start to do that, they jump up out of the ground, they rip that shovel out of your hand, and they smack you in the face with it. And that's exactly what he did to his former assistant, Kirby Smart. Again, He ripped the shovel out of Kirby's hands and went upside his head with it. Then left a rake out so Kirby could step on the rake and get cracked in the face when it popped up. I mean, what's funnier and more humiliating than a dude stepping on a rake? Even better when it's in the SEC title game against your former boss when the entire world is watching and saying it's your time. How do you miss that rake? It's right there in front of you. Especially when everybody's slobbering all over themselves about that Georgia defense all season long. Remember? Remember how good that crew was. Not just good, but great. And not just great, but historically great. Remember that conversation. Alabama 41, Georgia 24. And like the old saying goes, it wasn't even that close. Bama was up by 21 early in the fourth quarter. That Georgia defense, which gave up less than 7 points per game this year, Alabama put 34 on them and could have gone for more. Georgia had not allowed a team more than 17 points all year long, and Alabama had 24 in the second quarter alone. I mean, stop me if you want. Georgia allowed a total of 29 first-half points the entire season. 29 first-half points the whole year, and Bama nearly had that one quarter. They were absolutely carving the Bulldogs.
None of it's feeling too good for number four. Here comes the blitz. Down the middle and on the fly. Jameson Williams, extra speed, on the gas and gone. Touchdown. Just like that. With the answer.
This has got to be a busted coverage. No way. First of all, Brian Robinson takes on the blitz and allows the throw. But watch this lack of coverage in the middle of the field by Georgia. What's going on here?
There is a phrase to describe a situation like that. That phrase, wide ass open. When he caught it. And wide open when he started to run. And wide open when he came across the field and went all the way to the house. Nick Saban did not just beat Georgia to win the SEC title and clinch a spot in the Nick Saban Invitational. He destroyed them. You think that 41-24 hospital job might stick to Georgia? You think that it's not in Kirby Smart's head that he's now 0-4 against his boss? That was supposed to be Georgia's best chance to get over, and instead, they got a 2x4 to their face. Yeah, try getting over that. Georgia is still in the playoff, but they're going to need a hell of a lot of glue and patience to put themselves back together after that curb stomping. And you know Nick knows that. And you know Nick is feeling pretty damn good about that. No wonder Nick was sitting up there after that game talking about, quote, yummy rat poison.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
My dude's got jokes. My dude is downright giddy. Giddy. The guy who normally goes out of his way to be a jerk to the media. Not Saturday night. He's one of the boys, man. Saturday night, he's talking about his favorite topic, rat poison. And not, quote, fatal rat poison, but, quote, yummy rat poison.
It's yummy.
Like my dude is just spreading that yummy rat poison over his beloved Debbie cakes.
It's yummy.
And smashed them by the handful. My man's just stacking
yummy.
The cakes. He's not limiting himself to his normal ration of two. My man has got like a pyramid of Debbie cakes with yummy rat poison spread over them. My man was feeling pretty damn good about himself. And you know what? He should. He should. Because almost no one saw that beatdown coming, and he shut a hell of a lot of people up, including the entire state of Georgia, with that mug job. So now it'd be a hell of a time for Curb Dog to prove that he really is the smartest guy in the room, because the only thing worse than that ass-kicking that Nicholas just dropped on him would be his guys laying down against Michigan, another team he is supposed to smack. No offense, Curb Dog, but I got a hard time taking you over the Nictator. Like, I want to, but I can't. And frankly, you know Harbs would much rather face you than have to deal with Nicholas himself.
But Curb the rat dog. Poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Man's got jokes. But then again, that game was a joke.
Okay.
I could see where he was so gibby. About time he enjoyed something. Rat Good on poison. You, Nick. Hey, Curb Dog. Man, you best stop that bleeding, my man.
It's yummy.
Man, you best stop that bleeding, my man. I'd get a tourniquet. You do not want to lose to Michigan. You're a big favorite in that game, too. The Nick Saban Invitational. Why do we sweat this thing? Every year, man, it doesn't even matter how they're playing, how they look, who they lose. Same old, same old. 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to tip my hat to Nicholas and his yummy rat poison.
It's yummy.
Rat Some poison. Of you are running with that. Like the Metzer at the Metzer says, Saban literally put himself in the family. It's officially back, Jimmo. I can't believe this is happening. It's not happening.
It doesn't make any sense.
He didn't
it's
mention
happening.
The family. He didn't say that old Curb Dog looked like Curb the Rat. He said
Yummy.
That there's rat poison. He's frequently
poison.
Referencing the rat poison that the media spreads out there.
Rat poison.
He said normally
it was yummy.
It's, did he say vital or lethal? What was the word he used?
The rat
vital?
Poison that you usually give us is usually fatal.
Oh, fatal. My bad. Fatal. But now
fatal.
It's yummy.
It's yummy.
So no, he...
Fatal.
You're all running with that.
It's yummy.
Zach Matlock, quote, radio man, Saban brought back the rat poison. How about you bring back the rat family? Sincerely, Coach K, War Cheese.
Fatal.
In 1996 called, they want their show back. We're not bringing the rat family back. I don't know how many different ways I can say this.
Fatal.
I don't know how many times I can apologize for it. I don't know how many times I can own it.
It's yummy.
I don't want to qualify it or make an excuse for it, but it was just a different time. There was a time when that was funny. There was a time when it was fun to identify humans that look like rats and put them in a family and introduce them to their rat brethren. That time is long gone. Stop living in the past, man. We can't go back. We can't go back.
Fatal.
I've said this a million times. We cannot go back. Not to Gaetti. Not to Paven. Not to Zane Smith. We cannot go back. Not to Fittipaldi. Not to Monica Seles. Not to some of these other rats who become my good friends. We cannot go back. Not to Henry Waxman.
Fatal.
And believe me, if we were to go back, what the Waxer, he'd be the king. He'd be the emperor. He'd be the patriarch. He'd be King Rat. But we're not going back. You cannot go back. To that or anything.
Rat
Turn
poison.
The bleeping page. The rat poison may be yummy to Nick.
Yummy.
But the family itself is not yummy to me.
Fatal.
It's not scrumptious. It's not delicious. It's not tasty. It's not yummy. And it ain't coming back.
Fatal.
You know what? Do you know why? For me to bring that back right now would be fatal.
Fatal.
Fatal to me.
Fatal
to the show.
Fatal.
Do you want that? I don't think you want that. All right, so when we come back.
You like that?
You know what? When we come back, do whatever the hell you want. It's not like I can stop it anyway. More to get to. You have a phone number. And if not, what do you say I give it to you? 1-800-636-8686. It's a Monday, so we've got an ATP, right? Chuck, I know that you are multitasking because Ritt went belly up. Ritt did not go belly up, but he's not here. And I don't know if it's the beatus. I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's the flu. I don't know if it's a cold. I don't know if the old man just woke up and decided I don't want to work today. This is a guy who said when he got here, hey, man, I never get sick. Ever. James Kelly's back in, RIP war hero. He's not dead, James. Boy, dude, you're feeling good about you. You have one good week picking games, and now you're burying people. Literally. One more thing I want to remind you of. Episode 200 of the Jim Rome podcast is still live. You might look for that. Dana White came on, did a great job for us. Let's get you a sports update. Here it is. My man, Rich Ackerman. Let's get to the ATP. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. The ATP is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, then. Let's see. My man, Edward Marino, keeps his streak alive. He's in. Mr. Rome, when you attend Logan Rome's ball games, do people approach you and ask for an autograph or a picture with you? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. Nah. No. Generally not. Once, twice a season, maybe. I will tell you this, though. Saw Logan Rome pitch this weekend. And you got to understand about Logan Rome. Logan Rome has become like a crafty drop-down right-handed pitcher. Logan Rome is not, he's not a power guy. His velo is up a little bit, but he's not going to blow up high guys. Like, he generally will hit his spots, generally will put the ball in play. He needs guys behind him to make plays. So I'm watching Logan Rome, and for whatever reason, it's more nerve-wracking to me to watch that kid play high school baseball. And, you know, I mean, if we caught lightning in a bottle and Logan Rome, and I'm just being very honest about this, nothing I haven't said to his face and that I wouldn't say again to him right now, Logan Rome needs to kind of dial it up a little bit. Like, he works hard at it, and he's in the weight room, but if he really, really, really want to play small college baseball, maybe, if he found another gear that he has not found yet. So why I get so, like, yipped up during these games, I have no idea. But it's an amazing thing, right? You know, if you have kids who play high school sports, you know. Logan Rome. That right there is the 1140 almond that I had to have because I couldn't wait till 1201. Logan Rome gets into a situation, bases loaded against a team that traditionally is better than ours.
Dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog.
Thank you, Alvin. Bases loaded, one out against a team that's better than ours and worked out of it. Like, not only worked out of it, but got the first out or the second out and then went 0-2 to a batter and then went 3-2. And I'm not going to lie. And I said this to him afterwards. Son, I love you. I adore you. I knew you were going to walk in that run. I'm sorry, but I just knew it. And he somehow got out.
Rogan Lowe, come strong.
That's the my ass is in a war right now with that almond.
In a war.
I keep telling myself, man, just wait until the end of the show.
Man, almost choked on my spit.
I almost choked on my almond, dog. Anyway, Logan Rome somehow gets out of the inning. And I'd never seen him do anything like that before. I damn near wanted to go over the fence and hug the kid right there on the field in the middle of the game. It was a great moment. So that's the update on Logan Rome. Jimmo's,
Logan Lowe.
What are Jake's thoughts on where Logan should go to college? All right, another interesting question. Jake knows that Logan does not have the numbers to get into Jake's college. Rogan Lome ain't going to be a member of the Wisconsin Badger Mafia. We know this. Especially since he had a practice ACT test on Saturday and woke up with his eye closed like he had gotten into a street fight. I said, the hell is that? It was Sunday morning, actually. Apparently the kid had a sty in his eye or something. I'm like, only Rogan Lome. These things happen. All these weird things happen to this kid. That would be one of them. So where is he going to go? Not to as good a school as I would like him to go to if he keeps waking up with his eye closed the day of practice ACT tests. Come on, man. Ritt thinks you're a Jake.
Game on.
I think Jake's opinion probably is, I don't know where you go, but do what Big Bro did. Go away to school and learn. And my advice to, as I've said before on this program, I've already told Rogues, like Jake's a grinder. Jake had a plan. Jake works it. Jake got into a really good school. I've already told Rogues, hey, Rogues, I'm not paying out-of-state fees so you can party your ass off. Wherever you go to school, if you're going to leave the state, and probably you will have to, if you're going to leave the state, you best apply yourself so I get a return on my investment and you maximize the opportunity. If I find out that you're there and you're getting blasted and you're not taking advantage of the opportunity, I would drag your ass back home. And you can go to Irvine Community College and fight your way out of it. Don't you waste my money, Junior. So he's already checked out Boulder. I think that he and Dodger Jano want to check out Ohio State. The Ohio State. I think they want to check out IU. Indiana. I think there's a thought that maybe they might swing by Purdue while they're in state. So we'll see. This next ATP. Hi, Jim. Have you ever gone on a blind date? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. All right, Bella, understand that Dodger Jano and I have been married 24 years and together longer than that. But the answer is yes. I went on one blind date when I was in Santa Barbara way back in the day. And honestly, without getting too into my personal life, it went well. And I dated this gal for a while. And it went very well. And then she turned out to be crazy. And then we didn't date. You know what the worst part about that was? The person that set us up, her husband was one of my best friends. And she was a good friend. But it didn't work out. And she turned on me. And it got really ugly. And I'm like, why is this so personal? It just didn't work out. I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, your friend was the one who ended it. Thankfully, she was crazy. And I'd say to my guy, like, bro, can you not talk to your wife? Like, we were, until yesterday or last week, we were all really good friends. It just didn't work out. Why is your wife acting like this? He's like, dude, out of my hands. I'm like, bro, you know, right? You know I didn't do anything. He's like, oh, I know. Oh, I know. I'm like, then you know that your wife is being unreasonable, right? He's like, oh, I know that too. I'm like, can you do something about it? He goes, no. Happy wife, happy life. So there you go, Bella. Way to bring up a bad memory. Luckily, DJ stepped up. Luckily, Dodger Jano came into the picture. All right, there is your ATP, all about the Rome fam. Let's see what else we got here. Ed DB the Rocket guy's in. Wow, Jim. Great interview with Marcus Freeman. As a ND fan, I feel so much better now about the future of Notre Dame football. Thank you for bringing him on. Hashtag go Irish. At Hello Word tweets. Please, before the end of the show today, one more hit on my new favorite band, BK and the Jugheads. I cannot get enough of that Brian Kelly and family speech.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
Where's the worst
part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Guy goes, just one more hit from my new favorite band, BK and the Jugheads.
I'm here with my family.
Just didn't go to show, like, if you have one bad day or one bad family, how this could all, like, flip so quickly. That's not to say that I don't respect Brian Kelly as a head coach. I do.
I'm here with my family.
That's not to say that I don't think that he can do well there. Hell, Les Miles won a national championship there. Coach O won a national championship there. This is my only issue with, quote, BK and the Jugheads. BK got off that jet, stepped down the tarmac, and had a thicker accent than Coach O himself. I want to know how that happened on the flight from South Bend to Baton Rouge. That's weird. I mean, it's one thing if you've been in the area and you've kind of adopted the dialect or the native tongue after you've been there for a few years or a few decades, but not a few hours or a few minutes. He had a thicker accent than Coach O himself. And now, after years of good work and wins and being like doing things at Notre Dame that only Newt Rockne's done, all of a sudden now within 1 week he's BK and the Jugheads?
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
There you go.
More importantly.
What happened to the great Blue Dini? Did you take that down? Ah, we're out of time. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff. You know, over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Good, good Monday show. We had USC head coach Lincoln Riley. We had Darius Butler. We had Notre Dame head football coach Marcus Freeman, and we had an emergency episode of Big Head Bets with James Kelly. My thanks to the XR4TI, especially since we are down a man, Ritt. He did not get diagnosed with the beatus. He did not go belly up. He's just not here.
Game on.
Not really sure why. Thank you very much for listening. Hey, Big Head, stop saying RIP. He's still with us, just not with us. See you tomorrow. Have a great day. We're out.